News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
To that plane that arrived in late last night with 384 passengers coming in from Dubai. It was Emirates flight EK163. It touched down around 10:45. And of course, there were passengers on board from Ireland and from around the world, many in transit to other destinations. Henry McKean was there to greet them and to greet the Irish returning home at Dublin Airport. Henry, what was the reaction of people coming off the plane?
Good morning, Anton. Yeah, they were relieved to be back on Irish soil and escape Dubai and the Iran war. This was the first flight to Dublin since the war started. And there was, you could say, this massive relief on their faces just to be home, just to get out of that area that they were in Dubai with the bombings. Some were coming back from Australia and they just got stranded at the airport. Here is an emotional Peter Souter from Dublin 6, Terra Nure.
I was flying back from Sydney on Saturday, so I was on a 6 a.m. flight from Sydney. We landed in Dubai, and kind of probably 10 minutes after we landed, the airport closed. Then I was stuck in Dubai. Emirates actually looked after us incredibly well.
So you must be relieved.
So relieved to be back. Like, it's unbelievable, actually. We're so lucky to get on that flight. Like, so lucky.
And where is home?
Terra Nure.
And your family are waiting for you?
They are, yeah.
And who's at home for you?
My wife and two daughters.
And what message do you have for them?
I just can't wait to see them.
And you want to give them a hug?
Oh, yeah, I really do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's been an emotional time?
Yeah, it has. It's been a very weird time. It was scary the first night. It was pretty loud. And then it was just trying to get on a flight, trying to find a way home. Like, thinking about going through Oman or Muscat, or thinking, like, trying to find a way back. I mean, just actually, everyone on that flight then was just so lucky.
That's Peter Souter talking to Henry last night. He's presumably happily ensconced in Dublin 6 now this morning. We were speaking, Henry, to a couple who were stranded in Oman yesterday, and they were less than enthusiastic about the consular support they had received from the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs. What was the sort of take that you heard from passengers coming in about the Irish government's support that they got?
Well, Anton, if we take the plane, you know, nearly 400 people, I would say perhaps only about 25% of them were Irish, because it was an Emirates flight. Remember, it wasn't a government flight. They were relieved. They were just delighted. They felt hugely lucky that they actually made it onto the plane. Obviously, there was a little bit of confusion and some anger. But here is a couple. Here is Liz and Anthony from Dublin. They also got stuck in Dubai airport and they heard the explosion.
So it's Liz and Anthony. So we were due back last Saturday and obviously the flights were all cancelled. We were actually in the airport when the explosion happened. So it was quite traumatic for us.
And you obviously heard the explosion?
Yeah, we had a room in the departure lounge, a hotel room we booked for that night ourselves. And it was just underneath us when the explosion happened, so it was pretty scary, I have to say. At that stage, it was really scary.
And what was the bang like?
It wasn't like a thud. It was a massive bang, because we were right there. And so when we were trying to evacuate the airport, it was just pandemonium. It was manic. Something that I wouldn't like to go through again. But definitely saying that, when they evacuated Stan from the airport and they moved us to downtown, I have to say I felt a lot safer there, even though we did hear a lot of bangs on Sunday and again last night. So I have to say, when we got the call today, we literally got the call at 20:11 Dubai time to say go straight to the airport.
So how does it feel to be home? How does it feel to be back on Irish soil?
I'm absolutely delighted to be home. We have five children, so we just cannot wait to get home. I think the worrying part about it all really is you don't know when you're going to get home. So you're always constantly looking on the flights. They're going to be cancelled all the time. So it was the unknown, I think, for us as well for the last few days.
Yeah, but it feels great to be home.
Yeah.
Well, welcome home.
Thanks very much. Delighted to be home. Thank you.
Now, Henry, some of the people obviously coming home were there, had travelled specifically to Dubai. Others using Dubai as a hub and just got stuck.
You're right. Dubai is a major travel hub. I got to meet this lady from Limerick. She was coming back from New Zealand and she was actually surprised at the airport. Her sister, Elaine Gleeson, had travelled up with a balloon saying, "Welcome home" on it for her.
Norita Geary from Newcastle West County, Limerick. I had gone over to New Zealand for 2 weeks for a holiday, gone to Australia on the way back to visit my daughters, heading home, due in at 20 past one. We didn't realise things had kicked off at 12 o'clock. We arrived in, went to the gate for the transfer. Nobody coming to board us. We didn't know what happened. Next minute, cancelled. And then everybody ran over to the big screen. Cancelled. So it was chaotic at the airport then. Thousands and thousands of people. But, you know, they managed it. I don't know how they managed it, but they got us all into queues, into back through immigration, back through passport control, baggage. Out then in taxis and buses all lined up outside to get us to the hotels. We got into a taxi, we didn't know where we were going, but we were taken care of so well.
So having your sister to pick you up.
I didn't know she was coming. She said earlier on she was coming.
I said, don't come
because I have a lift. The Irish got together in the hotel and we set up a WhatsApp group and we were able to contact each other. And that was brilliant. You know, the Irish are brilliant no matter where they go.
Welcome home.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. It's just unreal.
So there you go. That's Henry McKean out at Dublin Airport greeting Emirates flight EK163. Now, of course, that put on by Emirates Airlines. Meanwhile, the government is chartering a flight to bring people back from Oman. And Neil Richmond is with us. He's Minister of State with responsibility for international development and the diaspora. Neil Richmond, £800 per person to get on this chartered flight. Political opponents, including Patricia Stevenson, saying it's a shakedown, not an evacuation.
Yeah, I'm very, very disappointed to hear that from Senator Stevenson, someone I respect very much. This is standard practice. This was the same when we did evacuation flights throughout COVID. There is a contribution. It's understandable. No mention, of course, that children will fly for free. Of course, the 6.5 hour bus ride from Dubai to Muscat will, of course, be covered. We have not had any pushback from anyone on the ground. If people are in financial difficulty, that's a different story. But we have been able to work, our officials in the region and here in our crisis consular centre, work very hard to get 300 Irish citizens on a plane tomorrow leaving from Muscat to Dublin, to complement the fact that there'll be another Emirates commercial flight tonight. And we're in constant engagement to increase the amount of flights to get primarily those first and foremost who are stranded in transit, but then those who are there on holiday, with priority going to the most vulnerable.
And the UK equivalent, the BA charter flights being sent by the British government, only £400 sterling is the fee for each of those. Why double the price for the Irish to do it?
Well, of course, no mention of children there. And this was simply the cost that was being able, obviously it's euro difference in sterling, there's a differential there. This is the cost based on the ability to get a charter to do it through Muscat. We're actually ahead of most European member countries in being able to do evacuation flights. Only the Italians and Germans have gone ahead of us. It is our priority. There's a huge Irish population in the region and transiting through the region, and we want to make sure they're safe.
What sort of quantum in terms of total numbers of Irish trying to get out of the region?
Well, we have over 24,000 Irish people now registered in the region. Now, 16,000 of those registered only since Saturday. The vast majority aren't actually looking to leave. That this is their home. About 14,000 Irish people call Dubai itself their home. And I must just say, and one of your contributors said it to Henry's piece, the UAE government in particular have been extremely helpful to the Irish on the ground in terms of providing information, security, covering and accommodation costs for those stranded there. But we have had over 2,400 contacts to our consular centre since the weekend for people looking for assistance to get out of Dubai. As I said, there was 900 caught in transit, another 2,000 on holiday, and there are some who do live there who don't just want to come home.
Sorry, give me that number again. What did you say was the total number seeking to exit?
So this is 2,400 have contacted our consular service. Not all of them are seeking to exit, but the vast majority are. Of those, about 900 were transit passengers, and they were the people that the Emirates and Etihad Airlines have prioritised to get out. Some Irish had already come home via London and Paris, and obviously last night with our first direct flight into Dublin.
So if we're going at the sort of numbers that you're getting on a chartered flight, we're talking effectively 10 aircrafts full.
no, that's not taking into account that commercial airlines have resumed. As I said, we had over 300 people on a flight from Emirates. Last night, we'll have the same again today. A number have been able to take Etihad flights through the region. The last count, the UAE authorities told us that they're able to get 48 flights an hour out of Dubai. So they're working through a very large backlog in through what is the third largest aircraft hub in the world.
So does that mean that you think the need to charter will be relatively limited?
Well, we're certainly had great interest in this first charter flight. It says that'll be tomorrow. We will run as many charter flights as we need. We're prepared to do more into the week, but that depends on demand.
Lastly, Neil Richmond, does this raise again? I mean, the same thing happened during the evacuation out of Kabul, and there were people including former army officers saying that we need some kind of capacity to do evacuations or strategic airlifts without having to go round with a wallet looking for commercial airlines to do it. Is that now going to raise its head again?
I don't think so, because since Kabul, the Irish Air Force has obviously bought two new planes, one which has a larger capacity than we ever had before. But in order to get these numbers off the ground, you do need to use commercial aircrafts that are only available through charter. No country in the world is going around with a fleet of commercial airlines that will carry up to 300 passengers.
Neil, thank you very much. That is Minister of State with Responsibility for International Development and the Diaspora, Neil Richmond.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.